Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We praise God by singing number 400. Food he daily gives the hungry, sets the mourning prisoner free, raises those bowed down with anguish, makes the sightless eyes to see. 1, 2, 3, 5, and 7 of 400. The God to whom we pray today and every day is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whom we confess as we do now from our hearts as we recite the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing number 88. O taste and see that God is good to all that seek his face. Yea, bless the man that trusts in him, confiding in his grace. All three of 88. Let us come to God in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, every day of our life, we ought remember that we depend on thee. For every good and perfect gift, for the spiritual graces of salvation, and for food and drink, health and strength, and all the necessities of earthly life. And every day of our life, we ought to remember to ask thee for spiritual graces and bodily necessities in measure as we need them for that day. But we acknowledge we don't always. We are prone to think very highly of ourselves, of our ability and power to provide for our own needs. Besides this, Father, we live in times of great prosperity. We are rich and wealthy. We have more than heart could wish, so that we don't really, from our own experience, know what it means to say, give us this day our daily bread, because it seems to us that thou hast given us our bread and food for weeks to come. And so we don't always pray to thee as we ought, don't always manifest our dependence on thee and trust in thee to give us what we need for one day at a time. We don't always live as pilgrims and strangers here on earth, thinking only of the day and what we must do for the day, and knowing that thou wilt take care of the morrow. But so quickly we hoard up and set our heart upon earthly things and think that they are the measure of true happiness. When we see what somebody has which we lack, we immediately suppose that we are not happy because we do not have that thing. Thus we manifest our own sinfulness of nature and even idolatry. We do not always trust in thee, the true and living God. We would never say that we worship another God and we think to ourselves that we have made no images, and yet in practical ways we do have idols. For this we are sorry, and pray for grace truly to repent sincerely and from the heart, more and more to love thee, to know thee as the one only true God, to seek all good things from thee, and to rely on thy promises to care for thy people, and thus we need not fear. Keep us from fear. Keep us from anxiety. Keep us from worry. Keep us from sinful, carnal fears that life will not go as we want it to, and enable us to commit ourselves to thee. This evening we gather to pray thy blessing, especially on the growing of crops, and that with a view to the feeding of animals, and with a view to the feeding of men. But it's not because our God is our belly that we make this prayer. It's not because we think we must be filled. How we remember the sins into which the Israelites fell time and again in the wilderness, when they complained because they did not have much variety of food and no meat. And even when they had absolutely nothing, it didn't drive them to prayer, but to murmuring and complaining. And we know we are like them. We pray now, Father, that thou wilt cause us to learn anew what it means to pray to thee for daily bread, and to seek thy blessing on our labor and industry and the growing of crops in the coming year, in order that thy church and as many members of thy church as thou wilt dost will to live on earth in this coming year may have food to use in thy service. Help us to receive our food and clothing and shelter and earthly gifts as having come from thee. Grant us true thankfulness to thee for them. Cause us to depend on thee such that we know thou wilt provide us with what we need. And so if we lack, we can be assured in our hearts that we did not need that which thou hast not given us. Therefore, Father, enable us to live more and more as pilgrims and strangers, looking for a day that will come when we shall have not only bread, but all creation given us to use in the service of thy covenant and kingdom. Preserve and keep us to that day. Pray not only then for the work of growing of crops and for agriculture, but for thy blessing on every one of us who is called to earn our living on behalf of our family or for ourselves, that thou wilt bless the labor of the breadwinners of the home. Thou wilt grant them at the end of the day which they have labored to put aside their labors and not worry because they think they have not done enough, that at the end of a day we may go home and enjoy the fruit of our labors in an evening meal and relax and be refreshed with sleep. For it is vain for us to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for thou dost give thy beloved sleep. And then waking in the morning, grant us the grace and the ability and the power to go to work as serving thee, and in that way, finding that thou dost supply us with our daily needs. Bless the poor of the church, whose needs are supplied also at times by means of the diaconate and the giving of alms which each one of us give for their relief. And on a day like this, we remember them too and pray that thou wilt give them what they stand in need of. Forgive graciously our sins of thought, of word, and of deed. In every way look upon us with thy blessing. And now in this hour of worship, open up thy word to us. Give us understanding and attentive hearts and ears. It is difficult at the end of a work day to be attentive. Perhaps we fight fatigue, but we pray that we might do so successfully, that we might listen as thy word is opened up to us and receive a profit from it. Bless thy servant who brings that word, that he bring only that which is pleasing in thy sight and in accordance with thy word and not his own. Thus shall we be built up and edified in the true faith in Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer, for we pray it in his name. Amen. The offering for the Free Christian School of Edgerton, Minnesota will be received. We sing 359. 359. Conscious Dependence on God. The four stanzas. We read God's word in 2 Kings 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. We're going to now turn to verse 38 of 2 Kings 4 and read verse 38 to the end of the chapter. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, Pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, What? Should I set this before 100 men? He said again, Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. Thus far we read God's word. We're going to take instruction tonight also from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, and place it alone in thee. Beloved saints in Christ, it is the will of God to give his people food, and to bless that food unto our use for the nourishing and strengthening of our bodies. In the Old Testament, he made known that such was his will, when he promised Israel that in the way of obedience, he would give her sufficient food, indeed abundance of food, to eat. The three miracles that we read this evening from 2 Kings 4 are also instances of God providing food for his people. For widows, that was the first miracle, and for prophets and the sons of the prophets, those involved in the work of the ministry of the gospel, that was the second miracle, and for his people generally, that was the third miracle, the feeding of 100 or so men. But always it's God's covenant people that he wills to feed and to bless food unto us. That will of God made known in the Old Testament, he also makes known in the New Testament. Remember the well-known words of Jesus to his disciples. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And, he adds this promise, all these things, food and drink and clothing, and all the sorts of things that you wonder, will I have these tomorrow? These shall be added unto you. This promise of God and this will of God to give us food is an incentive for us to pray a prayer such as that the Lord taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. The promise of God to supply our needs does not lead us to say we don't need to pray for food. God will give it without our praying, but instead, it makes us bold and confident to come to God with a request that he give us that food that he has promised. We call attention to this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer this evening, and fittingly so, on prayer day. Historically, the church comes together on prayer day to ask God's blessing on her work and industry in the coming year, but especially on the work of growing crops. The prayer day service has food in mind and our need for food. That's why the fourth petition is fitting for us tonight. I don't mean to suggest that prayer day is the only occasion to pray the fourth petition. Indeed, itself, that petition itself, makes clear that we're to pray it every day. Give us this day our daily bread. But we recognize that as we pray today for daily bread, God has been working for months already to give us that food. The food you and I ate today at our tables is not food that was grown and harvested and processed and shipped and put on our tables all today. Over a period of months, God was preparing to give you and me that food. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying that today God give us whatever measure of food he has for months been preparing to give. In other words, What we're doing today is praying that God bless the means He uses to provide us with food from day to day. And the most common means is that of planting and growing and harvesting crops. I help you remember that we're examining the Lord's Day from the viewpoint of God's covenant, and so I call your attention to this evening under the general theme, mindful of God's covenant, and tonight praying for our daily bread. First of all, conscious of our great need. Second, confessing our utter dependence on God. And finally, confident of being heard. Again, first of all, conscious of our great need, confessing our utter dependence upon God, and confident of being heard. We may not pray for daily bread without being conscious of our need. You and I are not always conscious of our need. We do fail in this regard so often that we, as we utter the words of the Lord's Prayer, speak this petition also, totally forgetting just how greatly we need food. And we forget our need because we have so much. But we're taught here that we need bread. That need which we have is a comprehensive need, by which I mean that it doesn't refer to bread only, as if that's the absolute only thing that the child of God needs for his body here on earth. But the word bread is used in the Lord's Prayer as a figure of speech to include all bodily needs. Food and drink, clothing and shelter. And in today's society, we can even add whatever means are necessary to heat your shelter, and whatever means are necessary, perhaps medicine, to help you live with certain diseases, and the money to buy these things with. And yet food is always our most basic need, and bread is the most basic staple of human life. It's noteworthy that if you read all the different miracles in the Bible that deal with the sustaining of earthly life, that you'll find some dealing with clothing. For instance, Israel, who wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, God performed a miracle on her by causing her clothes never to wear out. But by far, most miracles that were done that pertain to the sustaining of earthly life have to do with giving food. All three of the miracles we read tonight pertain to that. That's a need. That's a basic need for the child of God, that he have food. But the food we need is not much. Not much in quantity, in abundance, and not much in quality or in variety. We don't need a freezer full and a cupboard full. We don't need hot dogs and steaks, pizza, roasts, ice cream. Our needs are very small. Bread. And it's for bread that Jesus taught us to pray. It's very important that you and I remember what our need is, a need for food, and how great our need is, great because we can't get food of ourselves, and at the same time how limited our need is. We just need a little bread. It's important we remember that. Because of the day and age in which we live, we see what someone else has, and we say, I need that. It's the newest trend in clothing. It's the newest gadget to put in your car. It's the newest piece of decoration in your home. And immediately we say, that's what I need. As we begin another season of agriculture, we must remember we don't need all these things. We do not need a bumper crop this year. We do not need high corn and milk prices this year, which will translate into higher profits for the farmer. Oh, our bodies and our minds say, of course we need that. But God categorizes those things as luxuries and says all that you need is enough to live from day to day. And yet, we do need it. And the question now is, why? Why do we need bread? The answer isn't just because we need something to fill our stomach. The answer isn't only that we need bread because else we go hungry and die. Our God is not our belly, although we quickly make our belly our God. That's the way in which we fall into idolatry. Yet let's guard against it. Our God is not our belly. And because our God is not our belly, we do not need food for our sake. We are so quick to be troubled by earthly discomforts and pains and aches and troubles, that we might say, without food, what quality of life do I have? Without food, what happiness is there on earth? For the child of God, for the member of God's covenant, there is a far greater and more significant reason why we need bread. And that greater reason is our God is Jehovah, the covenant God. And his kingdom we seek first, as Christ told us. So we need bread to work in his covenant and in his kingdom. We need bread for the same reason that the slaves in the 1700s, 1800s on plantations in the South needed bread. There's a proper analogy, you understand, because we are slaves of God, because he owns us, body and soul, because he has the right to govern every single thing we think and say and do. There are many deplorable things about the American institution of slavery, but it is, in a way, a picture of our relationship to God. As his slave, as his servant, we need bread to work. If I can say one more thing, though, so that you don't get the idea that our relationship to God is very small and, in fact, put in a bad light, but I remind you that we are his slaves and his friends. We need bread to serve him, but we serve him not because he is an angry master, always holding a whip over us, always threatening us, but we serve him with joy and with gratitude for all that he's done for us. And so, God's covenant people need food, bread, in this coming year. Maybe not each of us individually needs it, because we only need bread so long as God has work for us to do on earth. And it may be that in this coming year, some of us will come to the end of our life on earth and need bread no longer, but the church, the congregation here as a whole, the church of God as a whole, which will continue on earth for some time yet, needs bread. And so we pray, not just give me this day my daily bread, but we pray for the church, give us this day our daily bread. But food alone is not all that we need. We need God's blessing on that food. Our catechism underscores that. It isn't only God's gifts that we need, but these gifts do not profit us without thy blessing. Food does no good if you are ill, if your stomach can't receive it. The food in your freezer does no good if that freezer has conked out a month ago and you only just now realize it and the food in it has spoiled. We may have a closet full of clothes, but if those clothes are eaten by moths, they do us no good. We need not only the food and the clothing and the other necessities of life, but we need God's blessing upon them, so that they will profit us, to give us health and strength. One of the miracles that we read in 2 Kings 4 underscores that point particularly. It was a time of famine, and in a time of famine, the sons of the prophets also were affected and had little food. When Elisha came, he told his servant to set on a pot to water to boil. They all went out to try to find something to add to the pot to make some soup. Some of that which they gathered, some of those gourds, were apparently poisonous. That food would sicken if not cause death. They needed not only food, but also the blessing of God on that food. So do you and I. Part of that blessing of God on the food, though, isn't just going to be that we're not sickened by it and that it gives us health and strength. But part of that blessing of God on the food will be also that we receive it as from God. That we do not say, look what my power has obtained. Look at what my riches have bought. But this is what God has given me. And so we give thanks to God for that food and ask for grace to use it in His service. Do you understand that aspect of your need? It's because this too is what we need, God's blessing on our food, that the rich as well as the poor must pray this petition. Those who know where their next meal comes from, as well as those who do not. If it was only a prayer for daily bread, assuming we didn't have any and didn't know where it was coming from, there's not a person sitting here tonight who would ever have to pray this prayer. But it is a prayer for food and God's blessing upon it. That's our prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, God of thy covenant people, Savior of thy church, so bless the growing of crops that the bodily needs of thy people will be met in this coming year from day to day, in order that thy church might live and work and serve thee in gratitude. That's our need. As we pray this prayer, we confess that we depend on God utterly and completely to supply this need. Jesus teaches us that in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, by teaching us to address this petition to God. Not our employer, not our government, not any other man, but here is an expression of trust in God. just as we quickly commit idolatry by thinking that we have supplied our own needs, so do we quickly commit idolatry by thinking that other men will supply our needs. More and more, as the time comes when Antichrist government will completely set itself up in this world, and Christianity will be more and more eradicated, true Christianity that is, men will have the idea that the government is the great savior and provider on whom we can depend. Not so. The government and no other man cannot do what God can do. Give us bread. We depend on Him. Secondly, Jesus taught us our complete and utter dependence on God by teaching us to seek from God that which God appointed us to have. It isn't chance, it isn't fate that gives us our bread from day to day, but God has appointed a portion. This is very really the idea of the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. That is our appointed bread from all eternity. God determined the measure of food that you would need today and tomorrow. And we pray for Him to give us that measure as He has determined it today. How quickly we forget, especially in a time of famine perhaps, or the closest you and I can come to famine, but it's so far from really being famine, a downturn in the economy. When we suddenly see that our whole standard of living might have to be adjusted, how quickly we forget that God knew from eternity what we would need today and what we would need tomorrow and is working to supply those needs. Thirdly, in this prayer, Jesus teaches us to confess our utter dependence on God by telling us to pray for what we need one day at a time. This day, give us day by day, as Luke has it in his gospel account, our daily bread. Do you pray that way? We want to pray today, give me next week. I'm going grocery shopping today. Be sure, Father, that all through next week, I get my needs met today. That's not how Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day. Because you and I are prone to forget that we depend on God utterly for these things, God sometimes reminds us of it in striking ways. Sometimes this is why the economy takes a downturn. Sometimes this is why he takes a job away from the breadwinner of the family. Sometimes this is why a house burns down of one of his own people or another catastrophe affects their life. This is at least in part why a widow woman who is in Israel a truly poor person has the creditor, the one to whom she owes money, who by law is supposed to have compassion on her, even to the point of forgiving her debt if need be, coming to her and saying, I'm going to take your sons. I'm going to make them my slaves. You owe me money and you're not paying it. Sometimes this is why God sends famine, so that even the sons of the prophets, those who are serving him in the cause of his kingdom, cannot find food to eat, to teach us to depend on him alone. He doesn't teach this lesson to the ungodly, to those who aren't members of his covenant. They do know they depend on God. They have the intellectual knowledge. He does let them know there is a God and all things come from him, yes, but he does not mean to test their faith in that time and time again by trials. They deny that which they know. They ignore it. They willingly ignore it. And he leaves them in their denial. When he sends them a downturn in the economy or famine or causes their house to burn down, all that does is underscore their unbelief in Jehovah God. But to his people, we're to confess that we depend on God utterly for absolutely everything. There must be repeated tests, trials. You say you depend on him. You prayed the Lord's Prayer today. You rattled off the words. Are you remembering what they mean? That test, that trial, is a special privilege of those who are his covenant people. Trials, suffering, a privilege, you say? Don't forget that that's how the Apostle Paul told the church of Philippi to think of persecutions. The suffering of the church for the sake of Jesus Christ is a gift of God to his church. Well, if that's true of that trial, so it is of all the trials that relate to food and to earthly life. Trials which are his gift to us to make us turn to him in utter reliance. And so the question is now, how do you show that which you confess to be true, that you depend on God utterly? How does your life show it? Coming to church tonight in observance of prayer day and then doing so with sincerity of heart is one way, but so is every prayer we pray at the beginning of a meal and at the end. The widow showed it by going to Elisha. The sons of the prophets showed it by telling Elisha their problem. I want to underscore something about that with application to you and to me. The widow and the sons of the prophets didn't go to Elisha because they didn't depend on God. They didn't go to Elisha saying, here's a man who can do great things. We don't need God. We need Elisha. They went to Elisha because he represented God. He was God's prophet. And the application is this. Certainly we confess our utter dependence on God in our need by praying to him. But then there are other times when things are to this point in our life that we confess our utter dependence on God by going to the church for help. When we need to do that is, when we truly do not have the means to supply our needs, maybe I have to modify that. I don't mean to suggest in today's society that you have to absolutely not know where your next meal will come from to go to the deacons. But when you have need, and when you can't supply your need, and go to the deacons to ask for help, you are showing your dependence on God. That's why we must not hesitate to do that if we need to. That's why coming to the deacons for help is not a matter of swallowing your pride. At least we ought not think of it that way. Do we feel we have to swallow our pride before we pray to God? Before we pray the fourth petition? We ought not. And we ought not feel the need to do that before going to the church for help either. We go to the church because through her, God cares for us, and we show us that we are depending on Him. There might be other ways in which you show your conscious dependence upon God, but to that we are called tonight, and to that we are called by the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And it's exactly because we depend on God and we go to God that we can pray confident of being heard. If I depended on a man, if I went to my employer and said, "Boss, I need more money," I can't go in the confidence that he'll help me out. He might say to me, "I can't pay you anymore." He might even say to me, "Not only that, but there are other people that would like your job. If you're going to hound me about my not paying you enough, I'll replace you with someone else." If I go to my government saying, "Government, I need money. I am not able to live. I can't be sure that the government will supply my need." But when I go to God, I can pray in the confidence that He will hear and He will answer. Jesus taught us this also. Give us. Sometimes when we pray, we add the word please. Did you ever notice that Jesus doesn't say please? That's striking. But it underscores His confidence, and He means to teach us to pray with confidence. Give us. This word, give us, is not an arrogant demand. It's not going to God saying, "God, you better." It's a humble request, but it's confident. Give us. This is Thy will. And we come to Thee in prayer seeking the carrying out of what we know to be Thy will. How can we have that confidence? We can in the first place because God always fulfills His promises. He always gives His covenant people that which He promises. Remember again that there's a limit on His promise. We so often forget that. We think His promise to give us daily bread means that He will give us what we want. That was not His promise. But our necessities, so long as He intends us to have life on earth and work to do on earth. That's His promise. And He's faithful. He will supply our needs. All three of the miracles that we read tonight are instances of God doing what He promised. It was a time of famine. And the famine was always a judgment of God on wickedness in Israel. There is apostasy. There is idolatry. There are many people in Israel in this time of famine upon whom miracles are not performed, whose needs God is not supplying, but the widow, the sons of the prophets, those who trust in Him, He is fulfilling His promise to. That, first of all, is why we can be confident. The second reason is because we come as His children in Jesus Christ and for Christ's sake. That means that even this petition we pray on the basis of the atoning death of Christ and that which He earned for us on the cross. You see, when Adam was created in the state of perfection and lived in a covenant relationship with God as friend-servant, friend-slave, then God told Adam, or at least let Adam know, he had a right to food. He was righteous in God's sight. He had work to do on God's behalf. He had a right to the food that God would provide him to carry out his work. But Adam fell, and he became not neither friend any longer nor servant. When he was, in essence, deposed from his position and the human race in him, he also lost any right to earthly possessions. Fallen man, I mean sinful fallen man, has no right to food or clothing or shelter. When God restored his covenant with us in Jesus Christ and now declares us righteous again in Christ, and therefore having a right to all spiritual blessings and a place in his covenant again, he says this also, and so you have a right to your daily bread, that which you need to serve, just a little bread, but enough to work on behalf of the covenant and kingdom of God. In other words, you and I pray for our daily bread in the confidence that Christ earned this also by his death on the cross. The bread and God's blessing upon it so that we could use it for his service. That's our confidence. That's a strong confidence, a firm foundation. When you and I pray the prayer on that basis, we can expect the answer of God. He will give us our daily bread. We've already pointed out that he might do so in the way of using the church, the deacons, or even fellow saints in the church individually, as we often experience in times of sickness or other trial in life, when fellow saints help us in earthly ways. But the most common means of God to answer our prayer is the means of labor. If we are going to pray on prayer day for God's blessing on our crops and industry in the coming year, then it behooves us to get busy and work. The farmer prays this prayer and then doesn't sit and watch his field to see whether somehow food will sprout. All that he'll see then is weeds. But he prays the prayer and then he goes to labor in the fields as he has opportunity. Thus God answers his prayer. The breadwinner of the family does not pray the prayer and then sit home to see if a truck will come by and stop in front of the house and some man will unload groceries for him. He prays the prayer and he gets up in the morning and he goes to work and he works diligently and he labors hard. And at the end of the night he comes home and he's tired, but in the way of his work, God has supplied his needs. Even the sons of the prophets could have said, there's a famine. You want us to go out and look for some herbs and gourds and vegetables to put in the stew? There's a famine. There is no food. We know that. They didn't. When they were told, here's some water, you go find what can go in it, they went, they worked. And in the way of work, God supplied their needs. But with confidence that God will hear and answer, you and I mustn't insist that God, let me put it this way, we mustn't pray the prayer supposing that we know just how God will answer it. He doesn't do miracles today, but he does answer prayer in very unexpected ways. That's part of the confidence you and I have as we make this prayer, that we don't know the exact way in which God will supply our need from day to day, but we will pray and we will use the means he has provided and we will wait on him in marvelous ways to supply us that which we need. That confidence can only be the confidence of the child of God. Confidence of one who has withdrawn his trust from all creatures and placed it alone in God. May that be your confidence now. May it be your confidence in the coming year and as long as you have life to induce and to motivate you to pray, give us this day our daily bread and to find day by day that God answers the prayer. As said the psalmist in Psalm 71, I am now old, who young have been, but I have never seen his saint forsaken or God's children begging bread. So may you find God to be true to his word. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, supply us with that which we need from day to day. Not for ourselves, but that we might serve Thee, our God and Savior, in gratitude. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. We sing number 286. Thy creatures all look to Thee for their food. Thy hand opens wide, they gather the good. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of 286. Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. Jehovah make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.